of incest, alayhi salam, based on this ayah of Quran. And unfortunately, this is not the case. But it is a fact that when Jibril came in the form of a man, he came totally in the form of a man. And when he comes to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he came with what men have. And as we go on, inshallah, there's added proof to this. Also, we know that the angels came in the form of men to the Prophet Ibrahim, and that he himself didn't know that they were men when he offered them a piece of the meat and they refused to eat. We also know that they came to the Prophet Lut in the form of handsome young men, and that Lut was straightened by them and fearful of him for his people. His people.
Yeah. You said that the angels neither male nor female.
Right.
But when they came in the form of human beings, they were always men.
Right. But they themselves, the actual creatures themselves, have neither male gender nor female gender. We also know that at least once Jibril came in the form of Dihya, we mentioned him before, Al-Kalbi, radiallahu anhu. And we also know that he came once as a Bedouin Arab. Anyone remember that hadith? No. Anybody on this side of the room remember that hadith? Right. When the hadith says he came with exceedingly white clothing, exceedingly black hair, and he had no signs of travel on him, and Omar said, well, none of us knew who he was, this was Jibril. How do we know it was Jibril? On this side of that brother. Anybody know? And on this side of this brother right here. Anybody right over here, all the way to the wall. Anybody know, how do we know that was Jibril? Yeah, because Rasulullah, the end of the hadith said it was. Because he asked Omar, he said, Ya Omar, atadri man as-sa'il, do you know who the questioner was? And Omar said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger know better. And then he said that it was Jibril, and who Jibril, atakum yu'allimukum deenakum, that he came to teach you your deen. So we know that he came in the form of a man.
Were they in the form of men?
I don't know of any narrations that says that the angels came in the form of men when they came, but there are some narrations that I haven't, not that I don't have the ability, I'm not saying I do have the ability, I just haven't checked them from the people who do have the ability to check hadith and find out the authenticity of a hadith. But there is some, one of the things that I learned years ago, that these angels, when they came and fought, the companions said they saw them and they had green turbans. They were wearing green turbans. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that before. You heard it before? That's Allah, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You heard it before too? See, I don't know if it's true. And I never, you know, bothered to check it from the people of knowledge. But
there's a narration in the heart that doesn't describe the green turbans. It says that there were two brave men. So fighting alongside the Prophet himself at the beginning, and they didn't see him no more. So
yeah,
put them in indirectly. If I'm not mistaken, I was reading about that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Speak up too.
There was a, I think it was I am sort of Bukhari where it was mentioning that they were going. The Shaitan had convinced these people to do battle against the Muslims. And then when they needed to do battle with the Shaitan, said, brother, I'm not of you, and he turned on his heels to beat them. That I read in a commentary, in the same commentary I mentioned earlier, which is Imam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That the reason that he turned is because when he looked, he had saw something, that he recognized the angels. And that he recognized the angels, he knew that he could not win against them. So he turned and he left and let these people to be slaughtered. This is true.
Inshallah, it's true. Alhamdulillah. I'm not familiar with it. But definitely we can add it to the narrations that we know that are true about angels coming in the form of men. Another one which comes to my mind is the one where the man, the hadith of the Rajul al-Ladi, qatala tis'ata wa tis'ina nafsan, the one who killed 99 people. And he was seeking repentance. And the angels of Rahmah and the angels of Azab, angels of mercy and the angels of punishment came to him on the road. We know this famous hadith. We also know that that the angel came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the form of a man, and the famous hadith when he was ready to take him and Musa punched him or smacked him, more like a smacking punch, and knocked out his eye. Came in the form of a man. Now,
if one came to Adam and Eve when he's about to take him, and he said that he forgot that we had gave Daoud 650 years or 40 years?
Yes. This is another narration, which is another proof. There's quite a few proofs on angels coming in the form of men. And there's quite a few proofs of angels coming not only in the form of men, but coming to other than prophets. And when we get to the section on the prophets this evening, inshallah, or tomorrow morning, this is going to be discussed, inshallah. Because some people believe that angels, among the Ahl Sunnah, that angels, because they came to other than prophets, because they came to people, this is a proof that those individuals are prophets. Right, because there are some Muslims among the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who believe that women are prophets. There's nubuwwah min an-nisa. There's prophethood from among the women. We're going to discuss that tomorrow, inshallah. And they have their proofs from Quran and Sunnah.
It's what you just stated, you gave the question I was about to ask. They still come to them. They come to only the prophets.
This is another good question. Do angels still come to people? Allahu A'lam. I don't know.
Okay, if they only came to prophets, they couldn't come anymore.
Yeah, if they only came to prophets, but we know that they didn't. We know that they didn't come to only prophets because the brothers had mentioned the mother of Isa, of Jesus, Maryam, came to Maryam. Yeah. So someone may relegate that and centralize that and say, well, no, they do come to people, but they don't come to anybody else after the prophets, even other people other than prophets. But that was in the time of prophets, and they don't come anymore. But Allah, I don't know.
The angel of death, right? When this angel comes,
does it come in the form of a man?
If he does come, do the angels have the ability to possess a human being and make them do the will of Allah somehow?
No. To the best of our knowledge, Bismillah wa salatu wasalam Rasulullah wa ba'ath. To the best of our knowledge, from what we've received from our illustrious predecessors and the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, the angels, we don't have any indication whatsoever that angels possess human beings like jinn possess human beings. That when they come in the form of a human being.
So,
but as far as actually entering a human being, there's no evidence that I know of, and just because I don't know, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, or that it's true or false. Right. But from what I've seen and what I've read and what I've heard, there's no, I don't even think there's a discussion on this. Because it's just assumed and accepted that the jinn possess human beings, but angels themselves don't. Let's give you 40 credit.
When the angel of death comes, does he create the scenario that caused the death of the individual?
No, he just comes to remove it.
Okay.
To remove the ruh. That's it. That's it. His only job or his exclusive job is to remove the soul from the human being. And there's a discussion, and I'm not getting away from what you hold your hand so I can remember too. But there's also a discussion added to this, if you allow me to add this, is there more than one angel of death? There's a discussion on this among the scholars. Some say there is an angel of death for each individual, and some say no, there's only one angel. I myself personally, I'm inclined that it's only one angel of death, but his feed is so stupendous that he does this function. Wherever a person dies, whenever they die, he's taking their soul out.
Okay, does he have, this angel, does he have, helpers?
There's also people who say that he has helpers. Right. I didn't come all the way down from New Jersey, man, but you have to discuss things.
Will
I read the discussion of this, or the belief that I'm inclined toward, which comes from the discussion?
You applied to.
From the people of knowledge that they have mentioned, like Al-Qurtubi, he mentions it, and some of the books of Aqidah they mention. Is this one angel, or does he have angels that work for him, for Allah, or is the angel of death a generic term? You follow what I'm saying? That meaning the angels of death, all right? Or is it one individual angel? According to the text of the verse of Quran, it's one angel. It says, "Ya Malik." All right? Now he had his hand up first, and then we come back. Yeah. Go ahead, and then.
All right, I got one. Have you ever come across or heard any from any text that if you see any of the angels in their original form, then you're a god on the spot?
No. I've never read it, and this is the first time I've heard it. But once again, this doesn't mean just because I haven't heard it or read it, that is not true. It could be true. Yes.
I was going to add that. That's also the opinion of Lyle Phillips, like your opinion, there's only one angel of death.
Well, alhamdulillah, at least I'm leaving my opinions in the company with some knowledgeable people, man.
The angels are made out of light.
It doesn't mean it's right.
And light travels and so many, I forgot.
He broke down like that? I'm not with him on that. I'm not saying that the reason why they're fast is because they're like light. Because wind is fast, you know, and there's other things that are also extremely fast. You know, I'm not going to say that the reason why they're fast is because they're created from light and light is fast.
No,
I wouldn't go that far.
He was saying that they're fast, then we know the speed of light. Right?
Okay.
And that the angels are faster than that, you know. Like
okay.
You can't put a speed.
Okay, I'm with him again. I'm with him again on that one.
That Tawfiq statement about the thing, I read something, and I can't say it's authenticated. I wish your brother was here, because he was the one that showed it to me. That there was a particular, I can't remember if it was a Sahabi or a prophet, he was showing me something in writing, that the angel of death came to him, and he wanted to know what the angel of death looked like. So he told him to turn around. Remember when he related? So he told him to turn around. When he did turn back around to look at him, when he comes to take the souls of the disbelievers, he swooned, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
He fainted. But he never told nobody what he saw after that. You know? Because it confused me that he had to take it.
Yeah. Well, definitely, once again, we know that they come in the form of men. That's for sure. Yep, this is what I was here. When snatching, which means snatching the soul out of the human being.
But it doesn't refer to the singular plural.
It is plural. It says, النازعاتي غرق, والنازعاتي غرق. This is plural. So we could assume from this that there are more than one angel. Because the verb, the noun there is used in the very first ayah, Allah is using waw qasam, using waw, using the oath. An-nazi'ati gharqa. Could be. And it's feminine. Yeah, feminine because it's plural. Well, no, I'm not going to say it's feminine because it's plural. This is a sound, what they call sound feminine plural. It could be plural because it's talking, it could be feminine because it's talking about al-mala'ika. Al-mala'ikatu allati annazi'atu ghurqa. Those angels who snatch violently at the time that the person is ghurq. You know, the having that problem of, you know, dying.
So that led to angels after generic?
No, it would not. So what led to?
The fact that it's plural.
No. Yeah, wait a minute. Now I don't understand your point. I shouldn't say no.
So the angel of death, some say it made the generic, just the term angel of death as in a generic sense.
Mm-hmm.
You could just all of them.
Right. But what are you saying now? How what you're saying relates to what he's saying?
Because he's saying here that it's plural.
Mm-hmm.
That it's more than one angel who does this action.
Okay, but how does it relate?
Because if it's in a generic sense, it's not meaning one singular angel.
Okay, yeah. It could mean that. Once again, it could mean that. And Allah knows best. I mean, unless we have some absolute concrete evidence, we just leave it as. Angel of death is an angel that takes out the soul. Let's get to him because he hasn't said anything, inshallah, and then this brother here. And then because you said something, inshallah, if you're allowed.
Yes, the question is maybe a little different, but such as animals and insects, the same angel take, it's a question.
Yes, according to the text, we have to say, if we mention death, then this angel takes care of all of it. Or these angels take care of all of them. Anything that dies, anything that has a soul, anything.
Because it's general.
Yeah, because it's general. That's the word I was looking for. Because the text is general, anything that dies, that angel is taken is responsible for that. Yeah, absolutely. Which is a lot of stuff. Yes.
Angels when Kepler. Dying. I think that the many angels there, there is a death panel which says I didn't remember exactly what it is. Who do you want? You remember?
No, go ahead, say it
again. Who do you want? So I beat them at the same time. Who do you want? So maybe many angels at the same time to one person.
Yeah, but even with this ayah, this would be a conclusive proof that the angels are taking the soul. What we're talking about right now is the angel that actually removes the soul. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Right.
We're not talking about angels being around the individuals or not, while the soul is being taken. We're saying, who is that angel that is responsible for removing that soul? That angel is Malakul Maut. If it's one or many, Allahu A'lam. I don't know. Inshallah, before I leave here, I'm going to be here all day, inshallah. If I can find someone who has some good classical sound tafsir, I can check it, inshallah. And we can mention it tomorrow. You were going to say something first, inshallah.
The angels, they
remove
the jinn, and the
jinn pass, the jinn dies. Sorry, death? Yeah, anything that dies. Okay. Anything that dies. In general, it's anything that dies.
And now the sequence that caused the event, you know, like the situation that happened, person driving down the expressway, glass falls off the car, the guy gets out the car, opens the door, the car swerves, the truck hit the car. The angels, are they the ones that caused this sequence to happen like that, or is this...
No, but we're going to... Yeah, of course it's in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, because everything is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz that is going to happen to the creatures. Yeah, all the destinies are written. But specifically what you're talking about is, are the angels the actual causes of the event? No. This is decreed, it's going to happen. But we're going to come to this, inshallah, What time the Salada comes in?
102.
102? Yeah. This comes to we're going to come to this, inshallah. We may be coming to this in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Okay. On what actually happens with this.
Okay, now, when a person is killed unjustly, right? I mean, like, people involved in being murdered, or someone who walks down the street and gets shot by a drive-by. This situation, of course, the color of the law comes out, but then there's an angel there that removes the soul of the individual. Does this individual, because he dies unjustly, is the angel there to, you know, for the sake, because he's killed unjustly, anything? I mean, does anything...
Is the angel there to do what?
When the person who's killed unjustly, the angel is there to remove it.
Yes. So,
okay.
Yes, that's it. The angel's there to remove the soul. That's it. But once again, if we hold on, inshallah, there's another aspect that you just mentioned that we're coming to, inshallah, on the accidents and things like that.
When where he makes mention that after everyone is in Jannah, and then all the people that are supposed to be in the hellfire and the hellfire, he makes mention that the angel of death will be slaughtered. So that...
The angel of death will be slaughtered?
What is
the brand of death before that?
Death is
death.
So death is
it indicates that death will be no more death.
So remember, like, all right, so not the angel of death himself, but just death. It's not like a new body.
Yes.
Maybe I'm getting confused with all the questions about him talking about death, the angel. I'm taking proof. They are also angels of punishment named the mercy act. Besides, maybe everybody's confusing them with the act.
Yeah, maybe this is what he's mentioning. The al-mala'ika al-rahma and the mala'ika al-azab. Yeah, but we're specifically talking about the angel that removes the arwah, the soul. Yeah, specifically the angel that removes that soul. That's what we're talking about. That's the angel of death. And that's what's mentioned in the surah that the brother mentioned. النَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى. This is what he's talking about. Also, we know that the angels have ilm. No. This is the angel of death. The angel that's putting the ruh in the human being, in the mother's womb, is a different angel.
Okay, because I've read something. I was asking because I've read something that said that they were the same.
No. In some of the ulama that I've read, it says that this is Mikael. That's what they say. This is Mikael. Allah knows best. Allah knows best on this. Also, we know that the angels have knowledge. And the angels don't have any knowledge except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. The ability of having that acknowledgement of the knowledgement of things and the exposition or the revelation, loosely used, the revealing of those things to the angels are only done, or they're similar to the way that human beings learn them. In other words, angels don't have any inherent knowledge. They are given the knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Allah gives the knowledge to the human beings in the jinn. There's no difference. You know, like Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah taught Adam the names of all the things, and then he exposed them to the angels. You see? So he taught them and he taught us.
So in the same verse that about the angel asking Allah, are you going to create one that will shed blood and make mischief in the land, right? They knew about this because Allah revealed this prior to them.
There's a difference on what this means. Did they know this because Allah revealed it to them? Or were they using this as a frame of reference for the individuals who caused bloodshed and mischief in the earth before the human being was created among the jinn? There's a narration in the book called Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah by Ibn Kathir that mentions a creature called El Bin. Creature called Bin. Not Jinn, but Bin. It's mentioned in there. And then it's even one I think was, yeah, Bin. Now, the authenticity of this, I haven't been able to find it. I asked one sheikh who was a muhaddith, he said they're not authentic. That this was a creature who the jinn used to cause a mischief and bloodshed on, called the bin. But he said that this narration is not authentic in Ibn Kathir's collection. Yeah, well, this is the other accepted opinion. That is not a creature called the bin, but the accepted interpretation of it, of this, أَتَجْعَلُوا فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُوا فِيهَا وَيَفْسِدُوا دِمَاءً. Are you going to create a creature? Are you going to point a creature who's going to cause mischief and bloodshed in the land? Because the accepted one that you're mentioning is that they had experienced the jinn doing it among themselves the same way that the human beings do it among themselves. Yeah. Once again, these narrations, we have to authenticate these narrations, because some of these narrations are Isra'iliyat, they're narrations from the Ahlul Kitab, and we have to check them. They're either narrations from the Jews or the Christians, or some other foreign source. But one thing for sure that we know, that the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has taught them more than what he has taught the human being. Definitely, that's for sure. We're going to come to that.
Yeah. Hold on for a second. Was he talking about the, remember we were talking about the free will?
Right. How could I forget? of course I remember that one.
I actually forgot it. There's a hadith that speaks about the the meaning of it, the Aisha, sin of Aisha rather than Aisha. If anyone says that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam saw Allah, then he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a hadith that speaks about it? I know it's a hadith, but I'm not sure that the meaning of it, the translation. If he's seen Allah, then he will perform much good.
If who saw Allah?
Mm-hmm. So can you say this is the indication, because they're the one who holds up the arsh, because they see Allah, excuse me, did they see Allah? I mean, but in there, I can't say that they saw Allah, because I don't know.
That's because the text doesn't say.
Right. But because, I don't know.
It's just shot a hole in your stuff, right?
But I was just thinking.
But even that they do, we know the angels do see Allah.
Okay.
But this goes back to what Sheikh Abdullah is saying, because they
that's
see him, they see how great he is, they see how powerful he is.
That's what I'm saying, because he, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, the meaning, if he were the soul of Allah, he would perform much good.
Right.
And that, you know, the awliya of Allah, because they know who Allah Azza wa Jalla is, you know, the hadith of Wali,
my servant draws nearer to me, nothing
right. Except I become his hearer, which he hears.
Right.
Because this is only pleasing to Allah. Can you use that, you know?
Allahu A'lam. Yes.
There's an ayah, I don't remember in the surah, where they said that the heavens and earth was offered to trust.
Yes.
And they turned it down.
And the mountains, yes.
Right, and the mountains, and they turned it down. But also the angels are involved in that also.
No, because the text says, it says the heavens and the earth and the mountains. So the text doesn't say that which was in the heavens and the earth, or the angels or the jinn, because if that's the case, we can also say the jinn, because the jinn are also airbound. And so are the birds. But as far as the knowledge that the angels have been given, we know that the angels have been given more knowledge than the human beings. And one of those types of knowledge they've been given is knowledge of kitaba, of writing. So Allah says, إِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ الْحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That they're surely, you know, they have been sent over as writers, guardian writers, and that they're honorable scribes, who know what we do. Or they know what you do, meaning us. We also know that the angels have ikhtisam. The high angels in the high heavens, they have disputations. They have, for lack of better words, argumentative discussions. For lack of better words. They have argumentative discussions. Ikhtisam means they have discussions between each other. I'm not saying they do it like this, but back and forth like we, similar to what human beings do. They have discussions. There's hadiths about this. Alhamdulillah.
The angels speak to the gender of Muslims.
Yeah, we're going to come to this, inshallah. We're going to come to this. Do angels speak to the jinns that are Muslims? I don't know of any text of angels speaking to jinn that are Muslims. But we can assume if I'm saying, because I don't know any transmitted evidence, we can rationally assume that they have some type of conversations because they're in the same world, in the world of the unseen. Rationally, I would say that they have, you know, because there's a hadith, there's an asr, and this is why one of our sheikhs, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Hafizullah, this is one of the reasons why he says that calling the azan is obligatory on every individual when they're by themselves and like you miss the obligatory salah. He has the opinion that you have to call the azan no matter where you are, right? And he says because the azan is i'lam, it is the azan is i'laman and ta'abudan. It is not only for an announcement, but it's in the form of worship. And he brings an athar, which comes to what we talked about the angels. He says that the Prophet ﷺ says, or hadith, that when you are in the earth, you personally have to make this obligatory salah, even when they're by themselves, he says, then let him call the adhan, because, one narration says, because of the nas that's behind him, that he doesn't see. Another narration says, because of the khalq that's behind him that he doesn't see. Meaning the angels and the Muslim jinns that are behind him that pray with him. This hadith is in the it's in the Musannaf of Abdul Razak. And this is with an authentic chain. Sister sent I knew they would eventually they want to send this over here. Would it be possible that you repeat the questions that are being asked as well so you speak up? Yes, inshallah. I'll try to remember. He hasn't said anything.
Is there anything written on whether the jinn is real or the Islam that came to one of the jinns, like bring a revelation to the jinn?
The brother's asking the question, is it anything that I know of that's written that says Jibreel bring revelation to one of the jinns? And I would absolutely, without even looking at the hadith, or just my first time hearing something like this, I would say absolutely not. Because the revelation is only sent to prophets, and there are no prophets among the jinn. And that we will come to also, what are the messengers among the jinn called? When we get to shaitan, jinn and shaitan. But they're not called prophets, they're called something else. Inshallah.
We have heard hadith of the Giddish. I guess I get it after, maybe because I want to know if you had the whole narration.
Yeah, there's before we end, there's a verse in the Quran, because I mentioned just very briefly and went right over it. There's a verse in the Quran, verse 69 and verse 70. Verses 69 and verses 70 of Surah Sa'd, which is chapter 38. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ لِيَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِمَلَئِ الْأَعْلَى إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ إِنْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ إِلَّا أَنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. I had no knowledge of the highest chief. That's the way Pixel translates it. It means the angels. Al-Mala' al-A'la means the angels. When they disputed, it is revealed unto me only that I may be a plain one. And then it goes on, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّنْ تِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When your Lord said unto the angels, surely I am about to create a mortal out of mud, and when I have fashioned him and breathed in him of my spirit, then fall down before him prostrate. And فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. Then the angels all fell down, everyone, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. Right? Well, this is a proof that angels have disputation.
Do you have the whole hadith that list that there? Right there in front of
about
you?
About disputing?
Yes.
I have two of them.
Can you read them, please?
Inshallah, let's come back. Because you want to make reference to something?
I'm just trying to clarify.
There's one in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and Hanbal, and there's also one in the Tirmidhi on the authority of Ibn Abbas, where it says that the Prophet said, Atani laylata rabbi tabarak wa ta'ala fi ahsan as-surah. It starts out saying that one night, my Lord, the blessed and exalted, came to me in the best of forms. That's where the hadith starts out. Is that the hadith you're talking about?
No, I'm just...
what's the reason you want me to... So, you know, I can go straight to it.
Me personally, I'm trying to...
Because there's not one hadith. There's a couple of hadith that talk about this disputations between the angels. It's not one. Because remember the hadith of the man killing the 99 people?
Yeah.
This hadith shows that they had a little disputation between themselves. The angels of Rahmah had a disputation with the angels of Azab, of punishment. But so there's a specific point that you want to make?
Inshallah, I'll come back later. Yeah,
okay.
The point, I'm just trying to clear them up.
For yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
But doesn't that follow through to the point where we were talking about the angels
having free will? Yes.
The fact that they can dispute.
That's right. See, this is...
That's what I'm telling.
This is something that's important. The brother
means that you have opinion.
That the brother is asking the question. He's making a comment, very important comment, that the disputation between the angels may be an indication. It may be an indication that they have free will.
That's why it's important to know that. I mean, to hear the hadith. That way you can.
But yeah, go ahead.
We know that they're trying to obey their Lord. And this is why they disputed, because one group looking at the situation one way and the other group was looking at the other way. I'm not saying they didn't disputate. I understand that. But on the free will issue, you know what I'm saying? No punishment. The other say no rotten. You know what I'm saying? They're only going with what they were commanded to
do. Right. See, and this is what I'm saying, maybe an indication that they have to have, that they have free will. But at the same time, one group of angels, obviously, from what we know from the text, from Quran and Sunnah, and what the scholars of Islam have explained to us, it seems as though angels don't know what the others are doing. That when they're commanded to do something, they're commanded to do just that. But they're not given any additional information. As the case of Musa, alayhi salam, that angel didn't know when he knocked his eye out. That angel didn't know that Musa wasn't going to die then. When he came to him as a man, he came with a specific job, but he didn't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed it in Lawh al-Mahfuz and in the preserved tablet that he wasn't going to die at the time he came. Right? So he went back to Allah. He said, your servant doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to go. Which is also another thing which we'll mention on the prophets and messengers, that shows a special characteristic of prophets and messengers, which we don't want to get into. I'm trying to not mix everything up and say these things so we can stretch this space out. Yes.
Now, I'm just saying that the fact that the angels, that one was with Rockman and one was with, it would, if they didn't have an opinion or something, then it wouldn't matter. Because they would do what they were supposed to do, and they would come back, and they wouldn't, because the other one is doing something different, then it wouldn't affect them. Because they would only be mindful of the things that they were supposed to do.
Yeah, It's a discussion that needs to be discussed in an elaborate form with people who have extremely much more knowledge than I do. I don't, you know, who are well equipped to discuss this. I'm not equipped to discuss them having free will or not having free will. Really, I'm not.
I never thought it had to be different.
Yeah, and when I heard Sheikh Abdullah mention it, I had never even heard of this before. Because I thought everybody thought like me. You know, it's like a wino, every wino thinks everybody's a wino. You know, I thought everybody believed, you know, that the angels didn't have free will. That's what I thought. You know, and this is a respected, knowledgeable individual who says this, you know, in the Muslim world. Speaks perfect English. Okay, let's go on quickly because we don't have that much time and we have to come back after Salah, inshallah, for those who can hang out. Me being one of them. The angels also have regimentation and perfect organization. Perfect. Regimentation meaning they're regimented, they're uniform. They're uniform. And when they carry out their functions, they do it in a uniform manner. And also when they perform their ibadat, they do it perfectly. In a uniform, organized, systematic way. See? Yes.
This is...
Especially in, well, of course, in everything they do is worship. We're specifically talking about, we're not specifically mentioning their worship because everything they do is worship, not like human beings. You know, so.
This is, I think it's important because, I have a Jehovah's Witness that's on my job. And they believe that Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, was an angel as well as Iblis.
It means that Adam was a... excuse me, sisters. The brother saying he
was perfect.
Excuse me, the brother is saying that he has a Jehovah's Witness. This is very important to talk about because he said that he is a Jehovah's Witness on his job and they believe that...
Iblis was an angel.
Iblis was an angel. Yeah, that's, a lot of people believe that.
Was perfect. But, and Adam was perfect.
And Adam was a perfect man.
And mm-hmm. This is... And we know that this is only their attribute.
Whose attribute?
The malaika.
Being perfect?
Yeah.
Being perfect in the sense that...
Ma'asum, right?
No, being perfect in the... Yeah, for those who believe they don't have a free will, for those who believe they have a free will, they're not ma'asum. They're not infallible. For those who believe they have a free will, I mean, don't have a free... do have a free will, then that's debatable. Yeah, but failure, once again, is not an indication that you don't have free will. It means that you're just good at your job and you carry it out. You see?
But, is it in...
Have any prophet failed in their mission? They're human beings.
Listen, no, see...
Let's not go back to the free will thing.
No,
I already told you, I can't
do that. No, I'm saying because they believe that... they believe that the angels are perfect. You know, this is one of their beliefs. And how can Iblis be...
Okay. Yeah, I see the point you make. Since they're saying that angels... They say angels are perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, you know, then you have to explain to them what does it mean of perfect. Unfortunately, they have forgotten what the meaning, the English word means perfect.
Excuse me.
Yes.
He said that Iblis is an angel?
No. He didn't say that. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Yeah, but no, before you came, I don't know, I'm assuming that you came later. There are some Muslims among the Sahaba, if the narration is correct, that say that Iblis was also among the angels. If the hadith is correct. Lastly, before we end, we want to talk about the organization of the Malaika in Ibadah. There's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking, he was teaching the Muslims about their prayers. And he said to them, أَلَا تَصِفُّونَ كَمَا تَصِفُّونَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهَا أَتَصُفُّونَ عِنْدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهَا. Would you not like to, or why is it that you don't want to line up your roles the way the angels line up their roles in front of their Lord? See? And they said, وَكَيْفَ يَصِفُّونَ بِالصَّفْ. They stand so close together, they don't make any spaces. So the Prophet has admonished them, you know, this thing, the statement that he made in the beginning, أَلَّا يَتَصَفُّونَ 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 or تَصِفُّونَ, excuse me, يَتَصَفُّونَ. He says, do you not want to? This is a, this word that's used in Arabic, that he used in the beginning, Allah, it's used in two ways. It's either used in to incite someone to do good, or to rebuke someone for not doing something. Here, it's rebuke. It's used as a rebuke. Now, what's the problem with you? That's basically what it means. What is wrong with you that you don't want to line up like the angels in front of their Lord? You see? So this is another indication that we should, I wouldn't say that this hadith would say that it's obligatory to do this, to stand, it's wajib to stand like this. I don't think this hadith is a proof that says it's obligatory, but definitely, these are individual creatures that worship Allah perfectly. And if we want to worship Allah perfectly, then we should emulate them in our worship. And that means we shouldn't have any gaps in our rules.
Can you give the impression that the angels would offer salat in the fashion that we do?
That the angels
offer
salat
the same way
that
we offer salat.
Yeah. The brother's asking the question, is this an indication that the angels offer salat the way we do? I would say no. Unless we could gather other hadith to add to this hadith by itself would not be an indication that they make salat the way we make salat. It's not. It doesn't make any mention of qiyam, it doesn't make any mention of rukur, it doesn't make any mention of jalsa or sajda.
So we know there are angels.
We know that the angels in sujood, but we know also that they're angels in sujood, and that's all they're in. So this is, once again, is not a clear indication that they mix a lot like us. See?
So,
yes.
You said that the angels don't need no gap.
Right, because the wording of the hadith says يَتَرَاصُونَ فِي الصَّفْ.
Okay, so now does that mean no gap even in your feet? Because some people believe in a gap for salat that they should stand toe-to-toe.
Well, this is not explained in the hadith talking about the angels, but it's explained in the example of the Sahaba. And yes, it does mean that you put your foot, the blade of your foot, the ankle if you can. Well, of course, you can't put the ankle, but it's the entire part of your foot next to the person's foot. This is what tarasu means. When the Imam says tarasu, this means not the foot, the toe, the pinky toe, to the pinky toe. It means the entire side of the foot, your leg, your shoulder, everything should be right next to that person. Yes.
I think, you know.
And we don't want to make this a fit class, inshallah, to a fit angle.
No, because since you mentioned it, because if someone hear that or something like that, then there are some people who don't want to touch your feet. And because that, now they're breaking another principle with the kashur. Because now they spread their legs like this to try to implement that.
Yeah. The brother is saying that the brother is saying, and we're getting ready to stop right now, inshallah. The brother is saying that there's some people who are damaging their humility and awe and concentration of salat by trying to spread their feet. Inshallah, let's come to this after we, you know, instead of just stick with the angels, inshallah, come to it later. And inshallah, all questions should be related to the topic, which is al-malaikatul abrar, the righteous, dutiful angels. Because one question just came from the sisters that says, when making salat, does the nose ring have to come out or to be covered? And the other one says, can you define magic? That's not the topic, inshallah. After we finish the things about the angels, inshallah, maybe we can talk about it. Also, there's a question here referencing the roles, referencing the roles in salat. Many people leave gaps. Over the years, I've read, I don't remember where, that you are responsible for the area, the space to you, to your right, and that you leave gaps. That is, and that if you leave gaps, Shaitan will bust your salah. Yeah, well, we don't want to make this a fifth class, but absolutely you can't leave spaces. That's the bottom line. Lastly, we know that the angels will, and also incidentally the hadith that I mentioned about them making the rows, the first row to the next row, and making themselves solidly cemented together. This hadith is collected by Al-Jama'ah, and Al-Jama'ah means Ahmed, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. But this hadith is mentioned, is collected by Al-Jama'ah except Al-Bukhari. Yes. This particular hadith that I just mentioned is not in Al-Bukhari. Inshallah. Yeah. Okay. Also, in the conclusion, we have the hadith, excuse me, the verse of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the completely perfect systematic organization of the angels, where Allah says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And that will be the day when your Lord will come in a manner befitting His majesty and greatness, and with Him will be in a manner befitting them. How? We don't know. Soffan soffan. They'll come row upon row, or row after row, or row with the row, however it's properly to be translated. This is Surah Al-Fajr. And again Allah says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Surah An-Naba. Surah An-Naba is what? 78 verse 38. Where Allah says, the English translation, the day when the angel Jibril, Al-Ruh, and the angels will come, they will stand on the saf, on the road, and no one will be able to speak the truth, no one will be able to speak except by the permission of Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will only be able to say, when He gives the permission to do it, that which is sawab, that which is true. Also, we need to look at the meticulous nature of the execution of the angels in their commands of Allah. And then the Sahih of Muslim and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ آتِي بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ فَاسْتَفْتِحْ فَيَقُولُ الْخَازِنُ مَنْ أَنْتَ فَأَقُولُ مُحَمَّدٌ فَيَقُولُ بِكَ أُمِرْتَ أَلَّا أُفْتِحَ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ وَأَلَا أُفْتِحَ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ. That it says, I will approach a door of Jannah and it will be open. فَاسْتُفْتِحْ وَفَاسْتَفْتَحْ. It will be open. فَيَقُولُ الْخَازِنُ, and the guard of the Jannah will say, who are you? And then I will reply, Muhammad. And then it will be said that what you have been commanded, that what you have been given, what you have been commanded is that that this door is open for you and it was never open for anyone before you.
So this shows the perfect organizational nature of how they carry out and execute the command of their Lord, because they could have opened the door for someone else. And I'm not going to get into the topic of free will again. Did they have the free will of opening the door for Musa, or opening the door for Ibrahim? And Allah knows best. So we just end with this, that it was possible to say that, you know, that the meticulous nature of them executing their orders is given in this hadith, and also even in more detail the hadith of the ascension of the Prophet, the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and also the Mi'raj, that when Jibreel asked permission in every heaven that he went to, and then it wasn't open for him, it was only open after the explanation had been given. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت وحدك لا شريك لك استغفرك واتوب اليك. ان شاء الله when we come back after Salah, we will begin with in detail the ibadah of the angels, the actual worship of the angels in detail. الحمد لله رب العالمين ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى اله وصحابته وسلم تسليما مزيدا وبعد. InshaAllah, we'd like to continue on the subject of Al-Mala'ik wal-Abrar, the angels, the beautiful, righteous angels. And we'd like to begin now with the topic, Ibadatul Mala'ika, the angels' worship, how they worship. First, we'd like to say that one of the attributes of the angels relative to the worship of Allah is that they fear Allah immensely. And we mentioned this earlier, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in Surah An-Nahl, the Surah entitled the Bee, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. That they, meaning the angels, fear their Lord above them, and they do what they are told, or they do what they are ordered to do. And this particular verse, which is the verse 50 of Surah 16, Surah An-Nahl, it gives us a small indication that they have this khawf, or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st chapter of the Quran, the 28th verse, 21-28. Allah the Most High says, وَهُمْ وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. And they quake, as Pictol translates it, they quake for awe of him, for the fear of him. Incidentally, since I would like to take advantage of the verse that we cited, the first of the two verses, the one in Surah An-Nahl, it says, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ, that they fear their Lord. It says, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, that they fear their Lord who is above them, which is once again another proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not everywhere, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above us. Folk. And regarding the place or the position of the angels, what I mean by position, I mean the status of the angels. What has been conveyed to us by way of Quran and Sunnah is that the angels, the best description that we can give to the angels is that they are ibadullah, that they are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have three verses in Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter called the entitled the Prophet, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he says, فَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُقْرَمُونَ. And they say, the Beneficent has taken upon himself a son. Be he glorified? No. But those whom they call sons are honored slaves. The highlighted point here, the shahid, as they say in Arabic, عِبَادٌ مُقْرَمُونَ. They are honored عِبَاد, honored slaves of Allah, servants. لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون. They speak not until he has spoken, and they act by his command. لا يسبقونه, it actually means they don't go ahead of him in speech. They don't go ahead of him. وهم بأمره يعملون. Until, of course, they act only by his command. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يشفعون. And he knows what is before them and what is behind them. إلا لمرتضى وهم من خشيته مشفقون. And this is part of the verse that we mentioned before. And they cannot intercede except for him whom he accepts. And they quake for awe of him, or they shake because of the fear of him. So we know from these verses that the al-malaika are described as worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their sifat, part of their attributes, is ubudiyyah, which is submissive, loving, willing, obedient to Allah in the form of servitude. We also know that as part of the worship of the angels, from these verses, that they don't go ahead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in things that they say or they do. And they don't contend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah mentioned in that verse, لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون. They don't go ahead of him in speech while he is ordering them of what they do, when they order them to what they're going to do. There is also another ayah in the Quran, in Surah Maryam, the chapter entitled Maryam, chapter 19, verse 64, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. It says, we come not down except by the command of your Lord. We mean the angels. We come not down except by the command of your Lord. Unto him belongs all that is before us and all that is behind us and all that is between those two. And your Lord is never and will never be forgetful. So we know that the angels fear Allah, who is above them. We know that the angels do not do things except what he tells them. We know that the angels, as a part of their worship, their ubudiyyah, that they do not outstrip him, or not outstrip him, but supersede him, or be forward with him, until he commands them to what they should do. In fact, the hadith that the brother alluded to before we took the break, and why did Jibreel, what prevented you from visiting us? And then the verse came down that we just mentioned, that they do, وَمَا يَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. We do not come down except by the commandment of your Lord. This was the answer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This once again is Surah Maryam. Now we'd like to talk a little bit in detail on the worship of the angels. This is in general, that the best, of course, the best description that we can say about them is that they fear Allah. Now we'd like to just give some small detailed examples of their ibadah. Once again, we know that the malaika are ibad about Allah, and we know that they have been given the duty to obey Allah, and that they accomplish and carry out and execute their ibadah and all the responsibilities with ease and without any difficulty whatsoever. The first thing that I can mention is the tasbih of the angels. You know, a tasbih, a loose translation, means just simply saying subhanallah. Saying subhanallah. We know the angels make dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, and the greatest of the dhikr that they make of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is tasbih, saying subhanallah. They glorify Him night and day, and they don't flag or they don't stop in saying this. They say subhanallah night and day. And in Surah Shura, which the number of the Surah again is 42, chapter 42, is that it? Shura? Chapter 42. Chapter 42, verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنَّ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. The heavens above are about to rent asunder, Shikwal says, while the angels hymn the praise of their Lord. Hymn the praise of their Lord, which here it means to sing subhanAllah. Okay. This type of worship that the angels commit every day, or execute every day and every night, I think subhanAllah, this is something that should really, really be pondered over by Muslims, because there's an ayah in the Quran to show us the importance of saying subhanAllah. There are a couple of different shades of meaning of the word subhanAllah. One, subhanAllah literally means to be above, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above, far above or far removed of any type of imperfection and any type of indecency or any type of humanistic or created qualities. That's the first meaning and really the most important meaning of the word subhanallah. It means تَنَزَّهَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْقَادِرَةِ or any type of, as Allah is far removed from any type of attributes of shirk or kufr or humanistic qualities, etc. Anything that is reprehensible. And another meaning of subhanAllah, I should say not a meaning, but a way that is used, not actually a meaning, is it's like a noun of ta'ajjub. I've called a noun of ta'ajjub, which is used to show surprise and amazement. Like when you see something, you see somebody maybe you haven't seen in a long time, or you see something that amazes you, say subhanAllah. So subhanAllah is used like this. But the most important aspect of it is of course the glorification of Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, that there is two phrases that is light on the tongue and heavy on the scale and beloved by Allah the Beneficent. Kalimatani, khafifatani, filizani, thaqilatani, ala al-mizani, habibatani, ila al-rahmani, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. The two words that are light on the tongue, they're heavy on the scale, and they're beloved by the beneficent. And they are Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. It's in the Sahih Adal Bukhari, in the Book of Supplications, as quoted by the brother sitting next to me. And if he's wrong, I'm saying that if the brother next to me says that, that's where you can find it. So they always say Subhanallah in day and night, as Allah says again in Surah Anbiya, in chapter 21, verse 20, يُصَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَلَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They glorify Allah, they glorify Him, they praise Him, excuse me, they glorify Him night and day, and they don't flag, they don't, وَلَا يَفْتُرُونَ, it means وَلَا يَضْعَفُونَ, they don't become tired, they don't become weak and fatigued. There is also an interesting ayah of Quran. The surah is a Saffat.
Chapter
38. Surah Saffat. Which is Surah 37. Surah 37. Verse 165 to 166. Where Allah subhanahu says, وَإِنْ that the angels say, وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُّونَ وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْمُصَبِّحُونَ, that surely we, even we, are those who set the ranks, and surely we are those whom glorify. So we know that most of the tasbih of them is at night and day and night, and we know that they continuously do this. Also, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Ayyu dhikr afdal?" Which dhikr is the most superior? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مصطفى الله للملائكته أو لعباده سبحان الله وبحمده. He said, the one that Allah chose for His angels or His عباد, His worshippers, and that is سبحان الله وبحمده. This hadith is in the collection of Muslims on the authority of Abu Dhabi radiallahu anhu.
And is there a hadith that mentions that if you recite this 100 times, you can get forgiveness for sins from your brother or from yourself. Did you recite someone else's author recite this yourself? Yeah, I don't know of the hadith that mentioned saying subhanAllah 100 times.
Or subhanAllah wa bihamdihi 100 times, and it will be forgiveness for your brother. But I do know that there are many hadiths that are mentioned in Riyadh al-Salihin, Gardens of the Righteous, by Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. And all of them on the subject of subhanAllah, saying subhanAllah wa bihamdihi, or subhanAllah wa sinning, all of them in Riyadh al-Salihin. There are quite a few of them that you say 100, say this 100 times in the morning, or 100 times at this time. Inshallah, we should try to implement them. As for the Salah of the angels, we've already mentioned how they stand in their roles. This was already mentioned. We also mentioned in the verse in Surah As-Saffat that Allah says that they وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُونَ, that they stand in rank. Surely we have the rank, set the rank. We also know that they make qiyam, they make ruku', and they make sujood. In a book called Mushkil al-Athar, a very famous book of hadith by Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah, and also collected in the Mu'jam al-Kabir of Imam al-Tabarani, we find the hadith
on the authority of Hakim ibn Hizam that says, بينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أصحابه إذ قال لهم أتسمعون ما أسمع؟ قالوا ما نسمع من شيء. قال إني لأسمع أطيط السماء ولا تلام إن صائد وما فيها موضع شبر إلا وعليه ملك ثابت أو قائم. It says, while we were the companions were saying, while we were the messenger of Allah, he said to them, do you hear what I hear? They said, we don't hear anything. He said, for surely I hear the squeaking sound of the heavens. I hear the squeaking sound of the heavens, the peace of Sama. وَمَا تُلَامُ أَنَّ صَائِفٍ. And it is not blamed for being, for squeaking. It's not blamed for squeaking, for making the sound. Why? Why is my school? وَمَا فِيهَا مَوْضِعُ شِبْرٍ إِلَّا وَعَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ سَاجِدٌ أَوْ قَائِمٌ. There is not a place in the heaven, not one spot, the size or the distance of a handstand, except that it has in it and around it, it has with it, except that it has in it angels and angels making sajda or making qiyam. There's not a spot in the heavens. Allahu Akbar. And this hadith is authentic. Our Shaykh, Alhamdulillah, Shaykh Naqruddin Al-Albani, says that it's sahih on the criterion of Muslim. And he mentions it in his Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahiha, Hadith number 852. We also have an indication of the worship of another type of worship of the angels, which is their Hajj, that the angels make Hajj. The angels have a Kaaba in the heavens that they make Hajj to. Anyone know what heavens it is? Anyone know what heavens that the angels make their Hajj to? Anyone know where human beings make Hajj to? Allahu Rasul A'lam wa Allahu A'lam wa where human beings make Hajj to?
Yeah,
the brother was just informing me that that the hadith that mentions the handstand is not an angel. There's not a place in the heavens except that it has a handstand where an angel is making sajda or making qiyam. That a handstand is approximately 4 inches. So this lets us know how many angels there are. And subhanAllah. So no one knows here where the Kaaba of the angels are? What heaven? What heaven?
I don't know what heaven is directly over the Kaaba.
All of the houses are directly above the Kaaba. So which one is the which heaven is the house that the angels make their Hajj to? No one knows? No one knows? Take a guess. No one's guessing. Come on. Firdaus? No. No, the brother is mentioning that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created 7 heavens. Yeah. And in each heaven there is a house that the angels go, you know. And each of those houses is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they were to fall, they would fall right on the Kaaba because they're right above the Kaaba on each heaven.
said the first day.
Where an angel made Hajj? No. No. No, the angels make their Hajj to the house which the brother mentioned over here, which is Bayt al-Ma'mur. But what heaven is in it? That should tell you right there. Anybody knows anything about Bayt al-Ma'mur? Then you know what heaven Bayt al-Ma'mur is in. Allah says in the 52nd surah of the Quran, the surah called the Mount, At-Tur. Chapter 52, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. وَالطُّورِ وَكِتَابٍ مَصْطُورٍ فِي رَقٍّ مَنْشُورٍ. And the highlighted verses, وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ, by the mount, and a book inscribed on fine parchment unrolled, and the house frequented. The house frequented by who? The house, the Kaaba, that's frequented by the angel, which is in the seventh heaven. This is the house that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made his ascension, he saw the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam receiving some of his reward from Allah, leaning against his house. And who was behind him? Children, right? Children of who? Of the pagans. Right. Allahu A'lam. Okay. We also know that the angels, when they go into this house that Allah mentions in the Quran, there's 70,000 of them that go in every day and they don't come out. They don't return. 70,000 of them go in and they don't come out. Every single day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned this in authentic hadith that can be found in Muslim and other places. Also, we know that the angels have extreme humility and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a hadith in the Mu'jam al-Tabarani, Mu'jam al-Awsat, because we know that al-Tabarani, rahimahullah, he had a collection of hadith called al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. Alhamdulillah. Yahdikum Allah wa yusufu barakum. He had one called al-Mu'jam al-Awsat, and he had one called al-Mu'jam al-Saghir. In three sets of hadith. This one is in Mu'jam al-Awsat by al-Tabarani, with an authentic chain, authentic here meaning Hassan chain, from Jabir radiallahu anhu. It says, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مررت ليلة أسري بي بملء أعلى وجبريل كالحلف البالي من خشية الله تعالى. It says that I passed the night that I made my night journey from Mecca to Medina, from Mecca to Jerusalem. I passed that once that night, the night that I was made to ascend, or made to have this journey, I passed by the high angels, and Jibril was like al-halq al-bali min khashyati Allah ta'ala, that he was like a worn out a halat is a sack, a kifa'an yuqtafu fi ard al-bayt. This is like this robe that you put on the ground, spread out on the ground.
when the Prophet saw Jibril, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that he was like this. The indication of this is that he fears Allah so much he looked like he, you know, he was so fearful of Allah that the appearance of Jibril, because of the fear of Allah, made him look like this. This is a lot of fear. Now, inshallah, there's a lot that we can mention about the angels' worship, but this is enough, inshallah, in detail. Now we'd like to talk about the relationship between the angels and the human beings. The angels and the human beings.